Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today.
Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. This program is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel radio and literature ministry. Each week, the Bible teaching broadcasts of Heralds of Hope circle the globe in English and 14 other major languages. And our Bible teaching programs in English, Spanish, Nepali, and Mandarin Chinese are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Thousands of people are logging on to that site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. You can join them and be blessed too. A pencil is a very important tool to a custom cabinet maker. He uses it for measuring and marking, for layout work, and more. During the years I spent in that field, I would sometimes misplace my pencil. I remember at times looking for it everywhere. I looked on my assembly bench, in my toolbox, and in the pockets of my cabinet maker's apron. I looked under things, behind things, and in things. I looked on the floor, but it was nowhere to be found. And then I found it. You know where it was? It was sticking behind my ear the whole time, right where I had put it after I last used it. You know, that's the way life is sometimes. We miss things that have been there the whole time. And that's somewhat the story of the Transfiguration. Jesus showed his disciples a part of the world that had been there all along, but it had not really been a part of their world. They were bewildered, astonished, and trembling with fear when they saw and understood that heaven was already here in their world, and that Jesus was the King of heaven. The Transfiguration was a very defining moment in the lives of Peter and John and James. It was also a defining moment in Jesus' ministry. Just about a week prior to this experience, Jesus had specifically told them, "I tell you the truth, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they have seen the kingdom of God." But really, what was this experience all about? What did Jesus hope to accomplish by giving the inner circle of disciples this glimpse of deity? And what is its meaning and significance for us today? Well, those are some questions we want to answer as we examine Luke chapter 9 and verses 28 to 36. As we begin our study today of the path to true glory, let me read the text, Luke 9, 28 to 36. "And it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said to Jesus, 'Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah,' not knowing what he said. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, 'This is my beloved Son, hear him.' And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone. And they kept it close, and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen." A path is made for walking, for following. To progress along the path, you and I take one step at a time. If you and I hope to progress along the path to true glory, we must follow the steps that will start us on that path and then move us on toward our goal. The first step on the path to true glory is communion with the Father. One habit of Jesus that Luke highlights often is his habit of prayer. This reinforces Luke's goal of communicating primarily about who Jesus is more than about what he did. So as our text opens, Jesus is praying. The setting of this event is about a week after he instructed his disciples about the high cost of being one of his followers. In that time of instruction, as you may recall, he told them that following him would call for self-denial and daily cross-bearing. Discipleship would demand of them a willingness to lay down their physical lives for the sake of the gospel. He warned them that if they attempted to save or preserve their lives, they would ultimately lose them. But there were rewards for discipleship too. Those willing to lose their physical lives would find the blessing of eternal life. Those willing to renounce the world and its system of material profit would receive an eternal glory whose value far outstrips anything on earth. Those who willingly endured shame and reproach for the cause of Christ would be glorified with him in his coming kingdom. And he stated clearly that some who were listening to him teach would get to see that glory before they died. Now, unfortunately, the disciples had a mistaken perception of glory. They expected Jesus to set up an earthly kingdom, to free them from Roman bondage, to elevate them to positions of authority in his kingdom. And yes, according to Luke chapter 22 and verse 30, they would eventually rise to those positions, but only after they had embraced the cross and its suffering, and then only in the world to come. You know, many today are like the disciples. They want the glory without the cross. Many hear the message offered today like this: come to Jesus. He has a wonderful plan for your life. Accept him. He'll take away your sin and give you a new life. Well, that's all true, but it's only part of the truth. It's an incomplete gospel. It offers glory without self-denial, cross-bearing, and full obedience to the Word of God. And we can only conclude it is not the gospel of Jesus. Jesus understood that the path to true glory was found in complete obedience to the will of the Father. And he modeled that obedience for his disciples and for you and me by submitting to John's baptism. The descent of the Holy Spirit and the voice of the Father confirmed his obedience. Immediately following his baptism, during his temptation in the wilderness, Satan offered an alternative path to glory, a temporary glory. But as you know, Jesus rejected that shortcut. The gospel writers reveal to us that even though Jesus was God, he still struggled with the desires of his human flesh. In that struggle, he understood that knowing the will of the Father was a first step in carrying it out. So he spent much time in prayer, in communion with God. In this, he modeled for you and me the important first step on the path to true glory. If Jesus, the Son of God, felt the need for regular communion with his Father, how much more do you and I need that discipline? Jesus' baptism was, as I said, a point of commitment, just like yours and mine. At our baptism, we made promises or vows to forsake all other gods and to give ourselves wholly to him. We renounced our own sinful will and desires and pledged ourselves to follow his will and his desires for us. We gave a public expression to the reality of our death to self and our resurrection to live in the power of Christ. We made a public identification with God and his people. Yet we still live in a human body with all its competing affections and desires. And that is why communion or fellowship with God is so important for us. Jesus needed strength for what lay before him. The cross, with all of its shame and suffering, including the weight of our sin, was a grievous burden to be borne. And so it was that he was praying on this night when God met him in a singular display of glory and confirmation. Now we notice from the text that it was while Jesus was communing with his heavenly Father that his appearance was altered and his clothes became dazzling white. His heavenly glory broke through his earthly existence. The veil of his flesh was temporarily stripped away, revealing the glory of his spiritual being. You'll remember when Moses spent time on the mountain with God, receiving the law, his appearance was altered, and he had to veil himself when he came down to the people. Except for a few times during Jesus' ministry, his glory was veiled too. This was one of those times. Spending time in the presence of the Father is the basis of our continuing transformation into the image of Christ. It is the basis of our being changed from glory to glory, as Paul speaks of it in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. It is only as we seek Him and His will that we can experience the glory He promised to those who will meet the demands of discipleship. Those who seek the profit of the world don't have time to fellowship with God in prayer and His Word. They're too busy pursuing their own agenda, maybe an education or a career, a business startup, an investment opportunity, or perhaps even a ministry. None of these things are wrong in themselves, but if you and I have identified ourselves as followers of Christ, they become wrong when they cause us to neglect that most important of all relationships. Those who seek to know Christ and spend time in His presence can't hide it. Like Moses of old, there's an unmistakable radiance to their countenance. There's an indelible imprint of the Master on their life and conduct. As Jesus said, the connection to the vine will bear fruit. They will become clean through the word spoken by God. So, my friend, I ask you, have you professed faith in Christ? Are you willing to deny yourself and take up your cross daily in following Him? If you are, that will get you started on the path to true glory. But you can only maintain your direction on that path by regular communion with the Father through the Word and prayer. Jesus knew that, and so He set the example for us. My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. Lord willing, we'll be back next week to continue this study. In the meantime, if you'd like to have an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, The Path to True Glory. Now, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to this address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this entire teaching, The Path to True Glory. I'd be happy to send one to you. Now, once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request your free copy of this teaching, The Path to True Glory, either in print or on an audio CD. And don't forget, our Bible teaching programs in English, Spanish, Nepali, and Mandarin Chinese are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Thousands are logging onto the site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. You can join them and be blessed too. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study, The Path to True Glory. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.